You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, global innovator Matt Hart joins us in studio. How are you doing today?
Kia ora, Joel. Kia ora. Yeah, really well. You guys doing well? Good show so far?
We are doing well. It's been a good show.
Yep.
Joel's pumped out some really good interviews today.
And some good tunes, I mentioned. Some great tunes.
Yeah, some very cool tunes. Loving that song by The Bats. That was the first song we played, listeners.
Yeah, and also really interesting to hear, Joel, that a lot of our premium foods go overseas and then we import a lot of food, like you said.
Yeah.
I don't think every
that
Kiwi knows that.
Yeah, no, I think because he wrote an article on Newsroom about how like they will have very small like identifications of that on their articles, on their products, but it's not, you know, something easily visible to the average New Zealander.
Really interesting.
So, yeah, anyway. Very interesting topic today.
Today we thought, Joel, we were riffing around this idea of social influence on young people's political persuasions.
Yes.
And it's fascinating in the context of what we've seen. Everyone was fearful, when we say everyone, you know, we're worried about this shift to the right, especially in young people. And yet you see the latest Canadian election results and then just on the weekend the Australian results. You can see that it can go both ways and it can swing very fast.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah.
And so we're exploring this idea that I think we would all accept, right, that the idea of the Andrew Tates, these thin, deep, controversial beliefs that the algorithms can serve up and can find audiences and then be spread socially are a dangerous place.
Yeah.
So I think social media is proving that that can work.
Right? Yeah.
So it's really interesting for us to think about, well, why is that working?
Mm.
And I think we could spend a lot of time, we don't have a lot of time, but we could talk about influence and influencers spreading their message. But I think the more interesting question is, well, who's influencing the influencers?
Yeah,
where are they getting their content there, and that become the memes, that become the viral hooks, that become the conversation pieces that travel, right?
Yeah, because it seemed like a very big influx of influencers and just content on social media, maybe even like a decade ago, started pivoting towards the far right. Not even just like center right, but like quite far right in terms of how people are talking about marginalized communities and X, Y, and Z. How are influencers?
Well, I think that what's been proven when you read the studies is that the algorithms quickly worked out that enragement equals engagement.
Yes.
And so if you speak to people's angers and their fears and their doubts and their rage in the world, you get a lot more engagement, and therefore it impacts your business model and media. And so we saw the rise of that, and that's just been ever increasing.
Mm.
I think what we're now starting to see is the fight back that you can use the same kind of frustrations and engagement, but maybe turn that into a positive hook.
Yeah.
Versus always going deeper and deeper into the enragement.
Yeah. I have noticed, actually, it's funny that you mention that. I get a lot of political content on TikTok, a lot of US content at the moment, and always the top comments are always the most, like, vulgar stuff. Like, that's always
like the hook, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. And, like, I can't help but just go to the comment section, like it's like an instinctive thing, and I just, you know, it's like, oh, okay, cool, someone has a very interesting, let's say, if we're being interesting opinion on something, and it's like, you know, like, why is that the top comment?
Exactly. What gets served. And remember, that's automatic, and that's been served up to know that it has a better chance of engaging you and keeping you on the platform.
Mm.
And so, you know, whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, it does seem we're coming to this place where we know that, you know, hacktivism or clicktivism, the idea of all of those short social cheats that political people, influencers have been using to engage people around political messages. Maybe there is a way now start, because everyone was asking, how do we combat that?
Mm.
Right? How is it that people can feel like they're super engaged just by clicking a like or commenting on something? But actually that doesn't surface in the real world.
Mm.
Right? All it does is it gets clicks and it gets media and it proves that some content can be engaged in.
Yeah.
So we know that that's worked. So the hypothesis that does social media, can it engage and influence young people's political persuasions?
Mm.
We'd all agree yes, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
And so how do we broaden that conversation? Well, there's some interesting things. One, we could talk now about what Australia's just proved can work in terms of moving away from just general political messaging to issue-based messaging.
Yeah.
Things that really connect the audience you're trying to go for and things that... So have you heard of this thing called TAFE? I wrote it down in terms of what it is.
I have not heard of TAFE.
It's the Albanese strategy of technical political education, free education, and making that much more available to young people seemed to have a massive impact on swinging the vote to Labor.
Yeah.
You know, so if they can find ways to message and engage, use the fight against no investment in youth, now we're investing in youth, here's some programs, that seemed to bring out the vote. Well, Australia has compulsory voting, but that seemed to start to swing the vote towards Labor.
Yeah, and I wonder, do you know what we're seeing here in New Zealand? Because obviously, as you mentioned, Australia does have a compulsory vote. We, to my knowledge, do not have that here in New Zealand.
We don't have compulsory voting. Would you guys be for, it's interesting to ask, but would you guys be for compulsory voting?
Big question right now. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. Yeah.
I would actually be really for it. I think we've come to a place in, I think, Trump land, again, either way, it's the way you view that shows how fragile democracy is.
Mm-hmm.
And democracy only works when we all lean in.
Yeah.
And we get a choice to lean out in today's world.
Yeah.
So actually, maybe we have to start mandating that you have to partake as your as a responsible citizen.
Yeah, and speaking a little bit, I mean, changing the subject a little bit, but those democracy sausages they have in Australia would be really cool to have more
tell me,
here.
I've missed that. Tell me about that. No, tell me about that.
Oh, my God. When they go to vote, everyone gets a sausage when they vote. Although I discovered that it's not free.
Is it? I mean, what do you
it
mean?
It goes to charity. It's like charity fundraising. You have to pay.
I mean, look, that's good. Love a democracy sausage. Anyway.
Well, you can see some hooks on that when I just had a quick look at what they think did work in Australia and getting young people and getting them in. Student debt reduction, 20% cut, they're going to do. This idea of free 100,000 new places in extra education, and then speaking to the affordability of housing and childcare, really start to connect and engage young people in things that matter to them. So we're proving, right? You can do your social media, you can do your engagement using those channels. Yes, that's where people are. That's where you have to be. You can engage them through the anger and frustration at the status quo, and then maybe we're starting to show that you don't have to take them down rabbit holes of anger. Mm-hmm. You can move that into a positive political choice.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think that's all we have for that chat, because it is 1 o'clock on the dot as we speak. But thank you very much, Matt,
thank
for joining
you
us.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Have a good week.
You too.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.